You know what? We're going to call an audible here. We're going to be joined by Cody Decker. We're going to talk a little bit of Royals baseball. He played Major League Baseball. He also does fantastic work for Mad Dog Sports Radio. Let's go to the phone lines and talk some Royals as they are one game away or one loss away from the postseason. Cody, man, happy to have you join us, man.
Jarrington, how you doing, my guy?
Doing fantastic, man. Let's just start with this. I do want to get your thoughts and opinions on the Royals, but I have to ask you, as a former Major League player, what was it like to see the scene in Oakland as they played their final home game yesterday?
Heartbroken. Truly, truly heartbreaking stuff. I can't stress this enough. You didn't listen to what Mark Kotze said before the game or after the game, or just the fact that this is a stadium that is a god-awful stadium. We can all agree that the Coliseum is bad, but that's a stadium that has a capacity of 47,000 people. The Cleveland Browns, before they moved over to Baltimore, they had a stadium that had what? 65,000 people. They put 40,000 people in their final game. You have a team like the Expos, who had a stadium that had 55,000 people. They've had 35,000 people at their final game. 47,000 seats capacity over in the Coliseum. All 47,000 seats were filled. This is not a fan problem. This is an owner problem. This is a John Fisher problem. And it makes me sick that not only has John Fisher physically gotten away with this borderline criminal activity, Major League Baseball has allowed it. It's a tragic day for the game.
I got a chance to go to the Coliseum a couple of weeks ago. I just wanted to see it. You know, I understood that things were winding down. I would never get this opportunity. And I don't think people realize it until you go to that part of the country and see how proud the people are to be from Oakland and how much of a sense of a community it is. And it's sad to see that over the course of the last, 8 years, I mean, their basketball team moved across the Bay. Their football team is now in Las Vegas. And now their baseball team is moving to Sacramento, Las Vegas, or wherever they're about to go.
Yeah, and on top of that, like, I give the argument a little bit, and I hear what everybody's saying, because don't think that Oakland, the city of Oakland, doesn't have at least a semblance of blame to have on this. Yeah, you can put some on there, but I'm giving them maybe 5% here, to be very clear. It's not a lot. Now, the Raiders, they were always a fickle franchise anyways. Trust me, I'm a diehard Raider fan, but that's because I grew up a Los Angeles Raider fan, and as far as the Golden State Warriors, I know they're not in Oakland, but they at least moved across the Bay. The Oakland A's, it says on the building, rooted in Oakland. They've been there for 57 years. It's just, as far as I'm concerned, it's a dark day in baseball for that. And not only that, why won't anyone ask the question that I asked today? Who actually wants this to happen? Who actually wants the A's to be in Vegas? I have yet to meet one person.
Right now, we're talking to Cody Decker, getting his thoughts on baseball. We'll get to the Royals here coming up in just a bit as they are one game out of the playoff picture. Let's start with the division as a whole, because right now, I mean, there's only three teams from the division that can make the wild card. It's either Detroit, Kansas City, or Minnesota, three varying degrees of things. Tigers, they have been the hottest team in baseball over the course of the last 6 weeks. What has changed for the Tigers?
That's a hell of a question. You want me? This is the honest answer, and this is an answer that I don't think a lot of people are willing to give you. I have no idea, Carrington. What the living hell did they just do? They sold at the deadline. They lost their highest paid player in Javi Baez, and they got so much better. It's unbelievable. Like, Skubal, off the charts this season. He's winning the Cy Young as he deserves to. And I even appreciate the White Sox with their little gamesmanship. Like Xavier Nady, Grady Sizemore saying that they're going to throw Crochet as if that's some sort of weird threat against the Tigers. Garrett Crochet hasn't thrown a game past the fourth inning in 2 months, so I don't really think that's the dangerous threat it is. Right now, it's all for the Kansas City Royals and the Detroit Tigers to lose, quite frankly. And I don't think it's going to be for them to lose at all. I think the Twins have put themselves in a position where, listen, the magic number's one. They're three games back of both of these teams. We're getting the Kansas City Royals. We're getting the Detroit Tigers. And I'm not going to lie to you, man, I dig it. As a former Royal especially, let's go. I didn't expect this. I thought they were taking a step forward this year. I didn't expect the step forward to be playoffs right out the gate. And I can't be more excited for the city of Kansas City.
100%. Let me get you this last question on the Tigers, and then we'll transition to the Royals. When it comes to the Tigers, could you see them really making go of this thing? Because they feel like the 2014 Royals just pops up out of nowhere in the final 6 weeks of the season, and nobody wants to play them once we get to October. This is a team that pitches it really well, plays good defense, and I think it'd be a matchup problem for just about anybody. How far do you think this Tigers team could take it?
They could go deep, because here's the reason. And I don't think it's a go deep because of what they have on paper. I think they got a good bullpen and a good starting staff and a vibrant young offensive core. However, when it comes to the playoffs and baseball specifically, it's not the best team. It's the hottest team. And going into the playoffs right now, who is hotter than the Detroit Tigers? The question is, can they keep that streak going for another 30-plus days? I don't know. I do think there is a team out there that it screams to me 2015 Kansas City Royals, but in my eyes, it ain't the Tigers. That would be the San Diego Padres.
Right now, we're talking to Cody for minutes. All right, I want to get your thoughts on the Royals. Here's where I am with the Royals. I don't question their pitching heading into the postseason. I don't even question their bullpen as you head into the postseason. I think their bullpen has been good the last 3 weeks. I question if they can score enough to really make things interesting against whomever they play in the wild card series.
It's going to come down to this. How many pitches to swing at is Bobby Witt Jr. going to get? How many pitches to swing at is Salvi Perez going to get to swing at? This is just going to be an interesting thing, and in how they're going to be pitched, how they're going to be worked. I'm fascinated. This team can offensively do some damage, but they have had some struggles as of late. And at the end of the day, when you are leaning on one to two guys specifically to do all your damage, it's a tough prospect. But like you mentioned, that pitching. And let's not mince words here. In 2015, Eric Hosmer, solid baseball player. Mike Moustakas, solid baseball player. Lorenzo Cain, solid baseball player. Good ball players. But we're not going to sit here and pretend that the Kansas City Royals won their 2015 World Series because they could swing the bat. They couldn't, compared to just about everybody else. What they had was the single best bullpen maybe assembled in the previous 20 years. If the Royals were beating you in the fifth, you lose. And that's why they won that World Series.
This just isn't a Royals question. This goes for any team in the American League. I'm guessing you much rather play the Orioles than play the Astros if you could pick.
150%. Keep me away from the Astros at all costs, and it's not because they're the better team. It's simply because the Astros have too many times. I hate it. I don't want them in the playoffs. I am so mad at three teams specifically in the AL West. Two of those teams are the Mariners, by the way. I'm furious with the Mariners. But the Astros, man, yeah, you don't want to run into them in October, plain and simple, because they do it every year.
Yeah, every single year. The Orioles are just one of those teams that I don't want to compare them to the Chiefs, because no one is like the Chiefs, but it feels very Chiefs-esque. All you got to do is just get into the dance. And if you get into the dance, you can be a problem for anybody. We saw that last year with the Chiefs. That wasn't one of their better teams. They won the Super Bowl. When you look at this Astros team, I don't look at there as being a favorite in the American League. I don't want anything to do with them.
No, completely. And I agree with you. I think the Chiefs comparison is actually a lot more astute than you get a credit for, because, yeah, no one's the Chiefs. But like you said, last year, the Chiefs were what? I'm a Raider fan. I watched my Raiders on Christmas Day beat the Chiefs and legitimately beat them. Then the Chiefs went and did their thing like they always do. I watched countless teams this year beat the Astros into submission. Watch what they do in October. I'm not happy about it, but we know it's coming.
Right now, we're talking to Cody Decker here for a couple of more minutes. I asked you what happened with the Tigers and how they really got things going. I'll ask you that same question about the Twins. What happened with the Twins? It felt like they were in this thing, and over the course of the last 6 weeks, they have fallen apart.
I really think it's kind of on all of us. If you're a person that believes in the Minnesota Twins, at this point, it's kind of on you. They do this year in, year out. They have the pieces. Byron Buxton is a bona fide star, plain and simple. They have the second best closer in the game behind Class A over there in Cleveland. They have everything to win. Joyce, if he could just stay healthy, the guy's a superstar. That's the problem. None of these guys stay healthy. When Carlos Correa is the guy you're banking on to be healthy on top of everybody else that's not healthy, how are you expected to ever win a title in Minnesota?
No, that's a great question. Just watching this team, it was funny because yesterday we had people on from Minnesota to kind of get their perspective. And I would say the Royals fans have grown very hopeful over the last couple of days. Makes sense. You won your series. You took care of business. Where Twins fans, they are ready to move on to football season or basketball, anything but baseball.
You're right. Those Vikings and all their championship glory. Sure. Get ready for more football.
No, that's certainly the case. I'll get one National League question from you, and then we'll get you out of here, Cody. We appreciate your time. Who do you like in the National League? Give me a sleeper that you could see kind of like Detroit that could potentially go on a run.
I already gave it to you. You may not have noticed, but man, I am terrified for the Los Angeles Dodgers for one reason and one reason only. I've been saying Dodgers-Yankees from Jump Street before the season started. I even took out a little gambling flyer before the season even started on it. And I truly think I might be wrong because the San Diego Padres have a bullpen that could beat anybody. The San Diego Padres scare the living hell out of me. They got four bona fide starters, the best bullpen in the game. Also, when I compared them to that Kansas City Royals 2015 team, I'm comparing that with the bullpen specifically. The only difference between that Kansas City Royals team and this current Padre team, this current Padre team also has Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado, Jackson Merrill, Jake Cronenworth, and that's just four of the names. This team offensively can go toe-to-toe with anybody, including the Los Angeles Dodgers. This is going to be one hell of an October, man.
I'll get you out of here with this, actually. I lied. I have a stat for you. It's not a question. So Major League Baseball, they tweeted this out, their PR team. So back in 2021, three-hour baseball games, 391. In 2022, it was at 232. There has been seven of these games so far. I think back to it. I remember people hated the idea of the pitch clock, Cody. Look at what it's done. It's made baseball a far more enjoyable product.
Guys, you can be mad at Rob Manfred for anything he's done wrong in his career, and he's made mistakes. But for these last 3 years, Rob Manfred has been phenomenal for the game. He gave us the National League DH. He gave us this pitch clock. He gave us the best WBC we ever saw. Baseball right now, even though nationally it's not quite at the level it should be compared to like football and basketball right now when it comes to the national narrative, regionally, it's still as powerful as it's ever been, and the game of baseball is honestly better right now than it's ever been. Now, if we can just get past that little aspect of making baseball back to the national topic again, then Rob Manfred will go down as one of the better commissioners in baseball history. And I know baseball fans don't like hearing that. You know how I know that? I'm an ex-baseball player. I don't even like saying it.
Well, you know what? I mean, step one would be eliminating the blackout. If they want people to get back into falling out with baseball, they got to make it way easier to watch it on television.
Dude, you ain't lying. It is unforgivable that we still deal with these blackouts.
That is our guy, Cody Decker, joining us on the show today. He played in the major leagues. He also works at Mad Dog Sports Radio. Happy to have him join us today to take a closer look at baseball as we are entering the final weekend of the season. Cody, great stuff, man. I appreciate you.
Yeah, man, go Kansas City. I still got all my KC gear. I need to have a reason to wear it, boys.